This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi, welcome. This is the Keep Real podcast, the show that explores real stories from very real people with a focus on mental health. I'm Kim, and today we've reeled in Josh.
Hi.
And we'll be discussing health anxiety.
So yeah, my name's Josh. I am in a band called Venus de Milo. Play guitar, do backing vocals as well.
Fantastic.
But then I'm also involved with Keep Real as well as a live music coordinator.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And also, we're in a relationship.
We are in a relationship.
We are indeed. Yeah. Got to throw
it's
that
official.
In there. Yeah, it's official.
It's actually Facebook official.
Oh my gosh, it is. Okay, so where do you want to start, Josh?
Ooh, I guess we should start from the very beginning, really.
Okay.
Makes sense, like where it all started, how it all started. So I was in my third year at uni, 21 and a half years old.
And a half?
Yeah.
21.5.
Very specific. I started having kind of like health anxiety symptoms towards the Christmas part of 2015, where basically I'd see myself in a social situation and I was kind of not really present in the room. I'd start focusing on like physical symptoms, where it be like chest pain or a headache, and I would be very zoned in on that as opposed to like listening to conversations and stuff around me.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a bit uncomfortable to, I don't know, to be in that situation with other people around. So I'd always kind of see myself off into a different room or something like that to kind of comfort myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this was obviously very like the early stages of what I knew as anxiety, because at this point in time, I didn't really know what a mental health struggle was like.
I
didn't really know anything about it. I was always one of these people that, in a way, like didn't really have as much sympathy as I should for other people that struggled with mental health, because I didn't really have any knowledge on it.
Mm.
So until I started having the problems myself, and then I quickly started realizing that this is, you know, it's a real struggle. So yeah, it began with kind of like the health anxiety thing, and to this day I still have it. But over time you gradually learn more and more about it, and then you learn to be able to deal with it in your own way. It's all very personal to that specific person. Like everyone deals with it in their own way.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Everyone has their own symptoms and causes for mental health problems.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it was just an initial shock. At start, because I was kind of almost in denial at the beginning.
Why do you think that is?
Because before I still am, I like to think, a very outgoing person. You know, I like to be out all the time, enjoyed social situations. I'd always throw myself in as many as I could. And then it just all suddenly started to go completely the opposite way, where I would actually avoid going out with my friends.
Yeah.
I'd avoid being in social situations with big crowds and things like that.
Yeah, I remember you saying that it's quite like a Truman Show effect, that's how you felt. Like, is this real?
Well, that's where it kind of led to with the whole depersonalization thing, which is what I read about more than, you know, I actually know about. So I think I've just kind of put that label on it because I've had similar symptoms to what I've read about. But essentially what that is where over time the health anxieties led towards this, and it's kind of led towards a thing where I don't feel like I'm living in the real world. It feels like a dream world almost. I'm not quite present in my own body. It's
so
kind
you're
of
really
strange.
Distracted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It feels like I'm almost like floating above my own body and not really, you know, doing what I'm doing. But that's where it all led anyway. And that all comes with, I think, when I started to have like panic attacks and things like that, where, you know, assume the worst. So that's where the health anxiety thing starts, where, you know, there's no real middle ground between you start having physical symptoms and then reason with yourself. You have physical symptoms and then you want to go to hospital straight away.
Yeah, you had that like next level approach to your own mental health where you'd be struggling physically and there wouldn't be a middle ground of like, oh, I need to go and, you know, sort myself out, maybe go into a different space. You'd be like, nope, straight to hospital, straight to A&E.
You start having physical symptoms and you're almost over-exaggerating your reaction. So like, I could have a chest pain and I would think it's a heart attack. you know, like you'd immediately jump to the worst conclusion.
Okay.
I think that's what health anxiety is really. Yeah. Just kind of being kind of hyper conscious of your physical feelings.
Yeah, it's like catastrophizing
exactly.
a situation.
Yeah.
Completely.
So thinking the worst about every physical symptom that you have, whether it be pins and needles in your hand, do you think you've got, you know,
something going on.
Something crazy something going on in your hand. Okay. You know, that for me, that is what health anxiety is.
Okay, so now that we've kind of explored what health anxiety is,
mm-hmm.
do you remember when you had therapy for the first time? Because you've spoken to me about that before.
I haven't really done that much of therapy. I went through a month of doing it about...
How old were you? Like 21-ish?
I was 22. Yeah. I was 22 when I started doing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it didn't really have that many positive effects for me. I spoke to a guy for about a month, and every session I'd feel okay whilst I was in the session.
Yeah.
And this is probably my peak of feeling bad with mental health. And I'd go into the session, I'd almost try to feel like I was okay going in. Like I tried
like
to
putting
like,
on a mask almost.
Yeah,
like, I'm fine.
Because
like,
I didn't know this
anything.
Person. There was almost like a trust barrier.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I could fully open up with this person.
I think we all struggle with that though. When we go into therapy, like talking to a stranger, that's, you know, revealing personal things to them and instead of your family or friends. It's a hard one to go through.
It's daunting.
Yeah.
For sure. Because I mean, me being the person that I am, you know, I've always been quite a proud person, like... I didn't really want to go in with my kind of like, I don't know, I felt like I was going in with a shield almost and going in not willing to open up fully. I was kind of going in and
with that
kind
barrier.
Of like, mm-hmm. yeah, I was kind of like bringing it down as if it wasn't that bad
mm-hmm.
when in actual fact it was. So during the time I was actually speaking to him, I felt okay. And then as soon as I walked out the door, I'd then drop off again and I'd feel horrendous.
Yeah.
So for me, it didn't have that. So after that, it kind of put me off speaking to people a bit.
I think for a lot of people, we struggle to find the right therapist for each of us because there's so many different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
You've got person-centered, you've got existential therapy, mm-hmm. you've got CBT, which is the NHS-provided one that a lot of people know of. But to find a therapist that is specific to you is quite difficult. You've got to go through quite a lot for you to feel comfortable.
Well, that's it, yeah. And I think the therapist that I went through, mm-hmm. he was a medical professional.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really know what it's like to speak to someone who isn't, but I think a lot of the stuff that we went through was based on health anxiety. So it was based on, you know, medical symptoms, and it wasn't to do with how, you know, myself as much. It was just to do with how to deal with physical symptoms when you're having, you know, chest pains and things like that. So potentially talking to someone else would help, and I would recommend that, you know,
oh, yeah,
to anyone 100%. Who's struggling. But for me, it just personally wasn't the way the route I went down.
Other routes have you explored then?
Well, to be honest, I've just done a lot of research, like reading things about anxiety, you know, listening to other people, like, you know, people will be listening today about talking about mental health and how they struggle and how they deal with it. That's been something that's helped me.
And also you've tried medication as well.
Yeah, medication, which was a route I went down for about a year. And it was something I didn't really want to continue with, to be honest. Although it was helping me kind of in the short term, I felt like over a long period of time, it was, you know, there's things like making me a bit tired, like when I first started it.
Yeah.
It was making me sick first thing in the morning and I'd have to go to work. For me, there was too many negatives to outweigh the positives.
Yeah, I tried antidepressants myself.
Yeah.
And for me, I remember I took them for about a year, like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like not being able to cry properly.
Yeah.
Like, but before I was taking them, it had reached a point where I was crying all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So when I took antidepressants,
I know exactly
I was, like,
what
couldn't
you mean.
Couldn't cry. Like I was like so upset, but my face just wouldn't.
I know
do
exactly
its thing.
What you mean. It made my emotions a bit dormant.
Yeah.
Like you felt like like just right there, if there's a scale on a one level. To 10, you felt five all
yeah,
the time.
No, I completely agree.
You didn't feel
agree.
Particularly happy, you didn't feel particularly sad, you were just
on a level
yeah. And it
which
didn't
is
feel
weird
right.
It's such a strange no, feeling to
it
have
it felt like
that.
You're being controlled, and I felt like that wasn't yeah. what I wanted to be.
How did you feel coming off them?
I think initially it was a bit of a shock in the first week or so. I think only I'm not sure whether it was because something was actually happening to me or whether I was just hyper aware of the fact that I stopped taking it, yeah. almost like a placebo effect where I knew I wasn't taking it every day and therefore I felt different.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I don't think it affected, because I mean, I was on a smallish dose anyway.
And always but seek I'm, the advice of your GP.
Yeah,
folks.
But I'm obviously, yeah, but I am 100% glad that I did come off it.
Yeah. So sure. You're not on that five all the time. I think that's the
that's
problem
it,
with
yeah.
them.
I still have it now where I'm very up and down, but I think I'd almost prefer to be like that than, you know,
feeling
a constant,
not either
not
happy
having
or sad,
any emotions just... at all. No, yeah. definitely.
How did it affect you in everyday life with health anxiety, like your job?
Yeah. Well,
what were you doing at the time? Was it
well when it first started? I was at university.
Yeah.
So. In that way that I did take a little break out of uni, which not many people know, like around me. When it first started around January, February time, when I started having all the panic attacks and things like that, and I'd be going to hospital
yeah,
and
yeah.
things like that, I actually took 2 weeks away and went back home to my mum and dad's because I felt so uncomfortable. I was living in a flat by myself and I don't know, I felt like being alone was not what I wanted at all. So I moved straight back home for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, didn't go to any of my lectures, none of my seminars or anything like that. Just took 2 weeks out and almost spent 2 weeks just kind of like sorting myself out and talking to my parents.
And were they really supportive?
Really supportive, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, the best parents could be. You know, they were completely understanding.
So you could talk, you felt
so
like
we could
talk
to each
it.
Other, you know. My mom was amazing during this time. Like she was, you know, starting her own business and having to deal
yeah.
with this as well.
Yeah, she's a gem.
So, yeah. But then after that, when I, you know, went back to uni, I was still struggling with the same things. But
could you talk to your friends about it at the time?
At the time, I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the confidence to really be open as I am now. Like back then, I'd try and hide it. I'd try and mask it.
How would
people.
You do that then?
Well, I'd still be throwing myself in. I'd try to go into these social situations at uni.
Just throw yourself
like
in.
Yeah, like for example, someone would invite me on a night out or something like that.
Would you I'd go all out?
Pretend
like...
I was okay and go. But even then, when I was out in a bar or something, I'd be really focusing on my symptoms, like physical symptoms, and I'd be almost trying to mask it and not. You know, I'd be thinking, does that person know that I've, you know, got chest pains and I'm, you know, being really anxious right now and just being really aware of the people around me and, you know.
So you had to get yourself out of those situations.
Yeah. So I'd always leave early, for example, because I started to feel that way and I'd always go back to where I felt like it was safe, like in my room, for example. But then coming out the other side of uni when I started, when I moved back home for a bit, just over the summer, I started a pub job. So I was working behind the bar at a pub. And this is where it kind of really started to escalate. Coming out the other side of uni where it was all very easygoing and like, you know, you don't necessarily have a routine. You just kind of like
it's
have
quite
the
a
odd.
Shock to the system.
Absolutely,
leaving uni.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I was working in a bar like most days of the week. And at the start of the day, I'd go in at about 10 o'clock, for example, and I would always see myself up to the toilet because, like, I would automatically feel sick when I walked through the door
okay.
Of the pub. And I'd go straight upstairs and I'd be gone for, like, half an hour at a time.
That's a long time.
And my managers would obviously be wondering where I was, but I'd be up there just trying to, like, talk to myself, like, on the toilet. I mean, and it never really helped me. So I'll still be going back down really anxious.
Did you talk to your bosses
no,
or
no.
anything like
I've
that?
At this point, I never felt comfortable enough to kind of really be open with it. Because bear in mind, at this point, I still didn't really know what it was, and I didn't really feel, I felt like I'd be judged for feeling that way.
Because you don't know what it is, so how can you describe it to someone? Like, oh, I have to see myself off to the toilet for half an hour.
That's it as well. And I also, at this point, I didn't want anyone to think less of me either. Like,
so that stigma attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel less like that now, but back then, I definitely felt like that. And even to like my close friends, you know, I wouldn't be as open with it. Yeah. I would always try to mask it. So
what happened with that job then? Did you leave that job?
Yep. So I left that job and I joined Venus de Milo.
Woohoo!
So that was, we're talking like October 2016 now. And this is where I started to play with the idea of moving up to Liverpool.
Okay,
and living
yeah.
with my cousins in the flat.
Lovely.
So I started to play with them in October. And that kind of gave me a bit of a different, I don't know, I felt like anxiety was a bit of a cause of not knowing where I am in life as well. Like,
bit of an existential, what am I doing?
All kind of built up. I wasn't really where I wanted to be, working in a pub. But then obviously starting to play music again kind of helped me focus on something else a bit.
Other than your thoughts.
I was still obviously having anxiety, but whilst I was like playing a live gig, for example, I wouldn't be thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was like a nice distraction away from focusing on physical symptoms.
I'd be focusing on
what I'm playing.
Yeah. Like your new tracks that are coming out, like Penniless.
Yeah.
Shameful plug.
yeah. That came out last Friday, yeah. So check that one out on Spotify and any preferred streaming platform. So
that really helped you with
it did, I mean, for example, I'm not, during band practices and things like that where it wasn't so focused, I would have health anxiety, but just kind of like the rush of playing live and things like that, it kind of filtered it out of my system a bit.
All that serotonin bubbling away.
That's it. And I feel like one of the biggest things that helped me with learning how to deal with anxiety is almost keeping myself busy. Almost keeping myself too busy to think about it. So you don't have time for anxiety. You know, your schedule's so full up that there isn't an hour in your diary where it says, be anxious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. See, that can be quite overwhelming if you are busy so much.
Yeah.
That can be quite, for a lot of people, quite overwhelming.
It is. But for me personally, I feel that when I'm not busy or I've got like 2 days where I'm not doing anything and all I've got to do is sit at home, that's when I'm in my own head.
Yeah.
So I'm in my own head. All I've got to do is think about anxiety. It comes back. So keeping myself focused on other things where I know that I have to be there or I have to be doing something, it takes a priority over anxiety.
So you're not allowing room to even think about it.
So your mind's like subconsciously focused on something else.
Yeah. So did the band know that you were struggling?
At the time, no, I don't think so. I mean, there's probably a bit of it going on, but probably not as, they probably didn't realise as much as I was. So at this point, I was really, really struggling, especially with the physical symptom side of it. And I wasn't really making it clear to anyone apart from like my parents and maybe you.
Yeah.
You were really the only ones that knew about it. I think kind of like towards the summer of that year, so maybe summer of 17, when I moved in with you in Manchester, I think that's when I started to become a bit more open with it. I think just learning more and more about it and realising that more and more people struggle with it every day made it realise that I wasn't on my own and I wasn't the only person. I didn't feel strange or I didn't feel like, you know.
There wasn't that stigma attached to it like it used to be before.
So I felt like, I just almost felt like, screw this. I want to let people know now that I'm feeling like this. And that was almost a big weight off my shoulder.
And you started your job in Manchester around that time, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
When we moved there.
Yeah, that was in May 17. And to be honest, like, again, being busy, that gave me a structure. So I was doing a 9-to-5
You're working in music as well.
Yeah, I was doing 9-to-5 a day, but also doing the band at the same time. Working in music as well, which, you know, was great. And that kind of gave me a nice distraction away from it, to be honest. I'm not, you know, I still had the anxiety going on, but I was less focused on it and more focused on other things.
Yeah, I definitely saw a difference when, from before, when you were working in a pub and things like that. I remember when it was so bad where the panic attacks were out in the public and you'd have to go, we were having a meal out once, I think.
Yeah.
And you ended up going to the toilet for ages because you were so anxious. And it got to that point where it was like, well, what's happening right now? How can I help you? Because from my background, obviously mental health, there's only so much you can do. You just have to be there for that person. So seeing that, and then when you were in Manchester, it wasn't as
well,
bad.
Well, I imagine it's hard to reason with someone that's going through that, because for me,
you try and convince me to ring the hospital, and
there's almost different levels of panic. I feel like once I'm in like the third level of three of panicking, where there is literally no outside voice that can convince you otherwise.
Yeah, you have to convince yourself.
So you kind of almost put a bit of a barrier up, and like once you're feeling like something's going on, like, oh no, I'm having a heart attack, my heart's, you know, palpitating like mad, even someone saying, you know, you're okay, you're not going to heart attack.
Yeah, there's only so much that I could have told you, and I can just see you have like this weird zone where nothing that I say will get you out of it. It has to be from you.
It does, yeah, and it can last for a while. It can. I mean, usually they come in like half an hour stints, aren't they, where you're feeling like that, and then you do start to come out the other side a bit, but at this point in time you think it's never going to end. So once you're in there, you think, oh no, this is the one. You always think,
this is it.
Even though this has happened in the past, this is the one now, this could be for real. And there was no at this point in time, there's no way of getting out of that for me. But in more recent times, it's been, you know, just weighing the odds.
So what's changed is the way that you think about it when it's happening.
Yeah, so the amount of times that it's happened to me in the past, and then the result of those times, the result has always been, I've been fine. So when it happens now, for example, it probably happens on a smaller scale than it did. But that's probably because I'm less in my own head about it, and I'm more kind of, okay, let's distract myself from this. Let's focus on something else. And not focus on it, because I know that nothing's really happening.
Yeah. So it's when you say that you're focusing on other things, what are they? Is it something specific that you have?
Well, for example, if I'm by myself, and I might put on some music or something
you
like that.
You play guitar a lot.
Yeah, I play guitar.
You even wake me up with it.
I do,
on the acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Strolling through like a little bit of Slayer, you know. Fantastic in the morning.
Yeah, shredding's always very good for mental health.
Recommended by
Dr. Adams.
Yeah.
You know, anything that I enjoy doing, really, like maybe just playing FIFA, you know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's a good distraction, because, you know, I'm always very buried in that. You know, watching my favourite TV show, going out for a walk with the dog, you know, anything like that is kind of my go-to when I start feeling like that now. And it does help a lot. It does help a lot.
Yeah.
Like even this morning.
Yeah.
As recent as this morning, I was feeling a bit like
anxious,
that. And I went straight out with the dog, and breath of fresh air, focusing on what he's doing. And it
takes you out of that bubble that you have.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does help. Exactly. And I think as well, what's also improved your well-being is Milo.
Yeah.
Since having Milo for the last, two, three years now?
Yeah, January 17, we got him. So that was... three and a bit years ago.
Little
now.
Lovely Labrador.
Yeah, definitely. He has been a help for sure.
He's your best friend.
He is my best friend. Tom might argue with that.
But sorry,
Tom, you've been you've been put to the side there by Kim.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's a really good way of distracting yourself.
He knows when you're anxious as well, I think.
He
knows what's happening. If someone's sad...
Yeah, oh yeah,
he
definitely.
Always goes
he can
up
sense
to
that
them.
For sure. He can sense that for sure. He'd always come and place himself next to you.
Yeah.
But no, like just taking him out for walks and things like that, it's a real good.
It gives you that excuse
lifter.
To go out.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I was, you know, in my worst state, I didn't even want to go outside. Like most of the time, I just wanted to kind of rot in my room or something. You just wanted to stay inside where it was safe. I feel like he gives you an excuse to kind of go out when you're feeling like that, and go for a walk and clear your head.
So and going out with your friends helps. As well, like going out for what? Well, because like Tom obviously has his little lab as well. Not so little anymore. And you go out for walks with them. So it's like you get to do it together, which is great.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
So you've got some really good support networks right now. So you've got the band, you've got your friends, you've got Milo. Mm-hmm. What else helps you?
Like I said before, really just, you know, keeping myself really busy. Like, I know you say sometimes that I overdo it.
You're like, Liverpool,
I've got too
Birmingham,
much on my plate, too much
Sheffield.
In my diary. But in actual fact, I feel like that helps me. I feel like my mind works better when I've got too much on my plate.
Yeah.
Rather than having too little on my plate.
Yeah, see, like, I'm completely different with my anxiety. Like, I have to, like, schedule everything in, and I might have something on every day, but if I do too much in one day, that's it for me. Well, but so we work quite differently, which is really nice in a relationship. It's because we're so different with how we deal with things that when we come together, it, like, complements each other almost. It's quite nice.
Yeah, well, like I said, everything's personal with anxiety. So everything is completely unique for everyone. Like, everyone deals with it in a different way. You know, everyone can counter it in a different way. Some people might have similarities to me where they, you know, they keep themselves busy to get, you know, to help them through it. But that's not going to work for everyone. That might be too much. But definitely for me, doing as many things as I can that I enjoy. Just giving anxiety no time to take over, basically.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
If you want to get really deep. Yeah.
So in the future, how do you feel about your health anxiety? Do you think that the health anxiety is going to stop?
I feel like I'm always going to live with it. I don't think it's something that just you
stops.
Get over.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a cure. There's no like getting over it. I think you're going to just have to learn how to deal with it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I think there's a way of keeping it in the background.
Like, yeah.
I think there's a way of kind of keeping it at the back of your mind and not taking over your life. Which is what it was doing. I feel like in probably the last couple of years, maybe last year, I have managed to do that a lot more. Don't get me wrong, it comes back and it can take over again, but in short periods of time rather than, you know, constantly. I see myself always having it in for my whole life, but I think just learning more and more about it, listening to more and more people talk about it, just everyone being aware of it, and just letting everyone know that it is okay to feel that way really helps.
Yeah.
And I think the more and more people that do open up about it, the more it'll feel normal. I think that's one of the biggest like parts of it as well, is the fact that you're almost nervous that people are looking at you and thinking, you know,
what the heck?
They know what's going
yeah.
on, but in actual fact, they don't know what's going on, because how can they look into your mind? But you are hyper aware of that.
And I think like throughout all your experiences now, over time, all those years, you'll know what your triggers are now. So you'll know when it kind of comes up.
Oh, yeah, I do now. I do now. And I think as time goes on, it would be even more so. Whether, you know, something new develops, who knows? You know, a different side to anxiety. But I think the more knowledge you can get from listening to other people talk about it is the best thing you can do. That's what makes me feel more comfortable about it anyway.
I find it easier to listen to other podcasts and different people like Andy's Man Club, for example, amazing support network for men talking about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's just such an amazing thing to hear other people's stories. It's just really powerful. So especially men, I know that obviously we've got huge suicide rates for men under 45. It's the biggest killer in men under 45.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we see more men talk about it, women obviously, but I think if we see more all aspects of mental health for all people, I think that's when we're going to see some change, which is going to be lovely. People are going to talk about it more. Hopefully there's more access to services, treatments, but more men like you, Josh, that talk about it. It's going to help loads of people.
No, I agree. It's always, even now, you know, some people aren't as open about it as they could be. I wouldn't say should be, because, you know, it's everyone's personal decision to
be
as open about it as possible. No one should feel pressured into being completely open with how they're feeling. It should be completely up to you, and however long that takes you to, you know, feel comfortable talking about it is absolutely fine. But what I will say is, like, for me, talking about it openly in the last couple of years has helped me massively, because I feel comfortable. Well, for instance, talking about it, I'm not bottling it up.
Yeah. Do you talk to 10 times worse. Do you talk to your other mates about it now? Do you feel like more comfortable with that?
Yeah, I do. I think there's still people that I don't talk to it about, but maybe that's because they're people who either don't struggle with it or aren't open themselves about it, therefore don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But for people that I know who have gone through it, I definitely talk to about it. And even people that don't, who I feel close to and feel comfortable talking to,
yeah,
I will definitely open up about it now. Whereas 2 years ago, I wouldn't have mentioned anything.
So opening up to your friends, like, how does that conversation happen? I think a lot of men struggle with that, about knowing, how do I bring that up in a conversation, like in the pub, playing FIFA, like what?
I don't think
have you felt most comfortable talking about it?
I think probably when I'm actually struggling with it at the present time. So, like, for example, I'm out for a drink with a couple of mates and I start to feel a bit like that, like a bit anxious. Letting everyone know that it's happening to you and that they're aware that it's happening makes you feel automatically more comfortable.
Yeah. So you've done it before where we've been out, for example, and you're like, you know what, I'm feeling a little bit, like my chest is really tight. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so I'm aware of it and I can kind of slightly calm you down, but also try and distract you from getting in your own zone, in your own head.
I think just hiding it as well is the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
I just think the symptoms and the effects of it are 10 times worse if you're trying to mask it.
So Josh, thank you ever so much for being the first guest.
It's all right, no problem. Really enjoyed being here. Great. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So folks, that's the end of the podcast. Please check out Keep Real on keepreal.co.uk. You can find out all the information about local services to you on there, our pop-up shops, our events, so you can come to our live music shows. And follow us all on all the social medias, Keep Real UK. And please subscribe to this podcast and never miss an episode. See you next week.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Hi, this is Dilemmas with Jessica Ellis, and we are in my house with my lovely dog, Bob. He might just be making a few interferences now and then when he's chewing my toothbrush or whatever he does. So you might know me from Hollyoaks. I played Tegan Lomax. And if you are a fan, you will know that I tragically got squashed to death by a tree. And I was left with a dilemma. What do I do now? Well, dilemmas is what I do. So basically, I'll explain to you what the concept is. In an Instagram world where everyone looks like they've got their shit together, I just wanted to prove that everyone hasn't got their shit together. So basically, we're going to be talking about dilemmas from, like, I've had a poo in my boyfriend's parents' house and a toilet won't flush, to I'm in love with my best friend's boyfriend, what do I do? So I hope that you enjoy our dilemmas and enjoy me helping you help your dilemmas in our dilemmas.
Dilemmas with Jess Ellis from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.